This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Sean Kenny joins me live on the long line. He is the former director of communications for the Republican Party of Virginia, and he is also one of the state's most well-known and respected political bloggers. Sean, remind us of the website.
It's www.seankenney.com.
And Sean is SHAUNKENNEY.
SeankenneyKenny.com.
Hey, before we start talking about politics, let me talk about your old job where you worked at the party. With Jeff Frederick gone and new leadership, do you think that you've seen the kind of changes in the Virginia GOP that you wanted to see? Because I've noticed some big changes, and I'm just wondering your thoughts on those changes since Jeff Frederick is no longer the director.
Well, I can point back to my old seat, and Tim Murtaugh, who is a former communications director and a current one, is doing an outstanding job. He's very well-versed with not just the mainstream media. He knows how to touch the bloggers and make sure that they're in the loop. The communications end of it, I'd give it an A+. Tim's been doing a fantastic job. I know that they're still struggling on the fundraising end of it, but I do know that the party overall, whether it's a combination of the political climate, the new leadership, the candidates that we have, or just all three together, has really sort of gotten its act together. And I think that in terms of all the angst and pain that we felt 6 months ago, I think it's really turned out for the best for the party.
Yeah, and we got to recognize that when you moved in as director of communications, we finally saw the party sort of get it when it came to the internet, and they understood the web thanks to you, and you really pushed them in that direction. And Tim has continued that, and I think Tim is doing a great job. I mean, I get emails from him every day. They're very, very busy. Where should we start? Why don't we start with your thoughts about the three big races this year, and then we'll talk a little bit about the House of Delegate races. We'll talk about whether we should be paying our legislators from Richmond more, perhaps, a full-time legislator. But let's start with the race for governor. Your thoughts about the Deeds campaign and the McDonald campaign.
Well, right now the numbers are holding. Even after all of the Washington Post thesis scandal and things of this nature, the Deeds campaign seems to have moved on, and Bob McDonald's numbers didn't budge. As a matter of fact, when you go from poll to poll before and after, not only did Bob McDonald hold steady, but Ken Cuccinelli actually improved his numbers from the previous polling cycle. Bob's still in double digits. Cree Deeds has moved on from the thesis. He's now embroiled a little bit of controversy as to whether or not he's in favor or whether or not he opposes collective bargaining. It seems like he's told two different groups two different stories. I think what you're seeing out of the Deeds campaign at this point in time is that they really haven't gained any kind of traction. They're still trying to figure out what it is they want to do for Virginia. And it's nice to talk in platitudes, and it's nice to talk in the ethereal, but you've got to be able to give concrete solutions for some of the problems that are facing Virginians. And for one reason or another, the Deeds campaign simply hasn't found their mojo. They simply haven't found that groove. They simply haven't found something that's worked for them. And as they go into the gubernatorial debate, they're going to focus on Bob McDonald, but understand that the reason why they are is because that's pretty much all they have.
Now, what are your thoughts? Now, the Democrats in Virginia say they're great closers, and that you really see their mojo in that final lap. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm a Washington Redskins fan. I've heard a fourth quarter comeback every single time the Redskins are behind two touchdowns. It gets kind of old after a while. And, you know, it's great to say that there's hope, and certainly when you get to, like, Mo Effley and some of the guys of the Deeds campaign, they are crack professionals. Joe Abbey is probably one of the younger and probably more talented political experts that they've come out with, at least from the homegrown Democratic end of this team, for some time. So obviously they're not to be underestimated, but the clock is running out, and when you're 50 days out from Election Day and you still haven't found exactly why you're running for governor, that's problematic for any campaign team. So maybe they are good closers, maybe they're not. Maybe that union money is going to help them out in the end. I know they got well over $1 million from the last report as of yesterday, but at the end of the day, they've got to find something to run on, and until they find that key, they're just going to continue to remain in double-digit deficits.
We're talking with Sean Kenny. He is the former director of communications for the Republican Party of Virginia. You can check out his observations on Virginia politics anytime online at SeanKenney.com. Sean, we were just talking with Bill Bowling, who is seeking re-election for the office of lieutenant governor, running against former state treasurer and secretary of finance Jody Wagner. Your thoughts on that race?
I got to take a hat off to Jody Wagner. She, out of all the three candidates, is probably running the best statewide candidate campaign for the Democratic Party at this point. Even that having been said, she's still taking her shots. Bill Bowling is a known quantity. He's served admirably as lieutenant governor for 4 years. Virginians know him. They trust his leadership. And that's the hill that Jody has to climb. And unfortunately, she's not getting very much help from her ticket mates. So, you know, whether or not she's able to narrow that gap in the long run will remain to be seen. She's certainly got many, many questions in terms of the state of, of Virginia's budget right now. But Bill Bowling's a known quantity. He's done a fantastic job as lieutenant governor. I think he's seen by many people on both sides as an honest broker. And Bill's doing all the right things. He's helping out his teammates, and he's certainly making the case as to why not only he deserves another 4 years, but why the Republican Party deserves a set of tenure in the governor's mansion in 2009.
We're talking with Sean Kenney. To back up for a moment to the governor's race, how do you think the McDonald campaign handled this whole thesis thing, the Washington Post? We talked with reporter Amy Gardner, who broke that story a few days ago, and she said the Post is committed to staying on top of the campaigns on both campaigns. How do you think McDonald handled that? To date, I guess that's the biggest scandal of the election, if you can even call it that.
Well, if you could call it that, and I think what was interesting is reading the editorial pages of the Richmond Times-Dispatch and the Freelance Star, for instance, both of them were fairly critical of the Washington Post and the way they approached this story. And quite honestly, even for most folks in the blogosphere, they just kind of shrugged. It's like, this is really all you've got? They tried to spin it into a macaca moment, which would have been a reference to George Allen's mishaps in 2006. The key thing here is that you know, again, 38 mentions over the course of 6 days. The Washington Post pretty much went out on a limb and expected the rest of the mainstream media in Virginia to follow, and they didn't. So what happens at the end of the day is now you've got the national media pounding on the Washington Post, which it already is having some issues, at least in terms of there was the pay-for-play scandal a few months back in terms of granting access to Obama administration officials in Washington. I think this one hurt the Washington Post more than it realizes. For short-term game and a political cycle, okay, maybe did you sell a few newspapers? Did you give me a few more hits on the website, perhaps? I don't think it did anything really, not just to help public discourse, but really improve the image of the mainstream media in public eyes. And as we saw from recent polling, the mainstream media is at an all-time low in terms of their credibility. And so I think this just serves as one more interest for folks on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, to sort of distrust the media and unfortunately, and sort of second-guess what kind of information is being fed to them, which, of course, in a democracy is always a good thing.
We are talking with Sean Kenney, the former director of communications for the Republican Party of Virginia, and the phone lines are open if you've got a question for Sean or you want to join this conversation at 977-1070. Sean, the race for attorney general, two folks that most Virginians don't know. Remind us, the Republican nominee Ken Cuccinelli, the Democratic nominee Steve Shannon, remind us who these guys are and, from your perspective, who should Virginians vote for on Election Day?
Well, both of these gentlemen are from Northern Virginia. Ken Cuccinelli is a state senator inside the Beltway. He's one of the few Republicans, if not the only Republican, that's been elected inside the Beltway. Steve Shannon, of course, is the mirror opposite. He's a liberal Democrat from Northern Virginia. He's a member of the House of Delegates. Both of them are very young. Both of them are fairly accomplished. Both of them are fairly articulate on the stump. Ken Cuccinelli, amongst the base anyway, on the Republican side of the ticket, is much more well-known than I think Steve Shannon is amongst the Democratic base. Ken Cuccinelli has a little bit more experience and exposure statewide. Steve Shannon does not have this experience and exposure statewide. As that interprets into campaigns, you've seen Ken Cuccinelli take off and is actually, at this point in time, has the wider margin of victory over the other two statewide candidates for governor and lieutenant governor. Steve Shannon, I think, is suffering from two disadvantages. One, the rest of the ticket is weighing him down. I think that if, you know, once Creed Eads finds something that works for him anyway, I think that helps the other two down ticket races. And so far, both Jody Wagner and Steve Shannon are missing that. But second, I think that there have been a couple of mishaps on Steve Shannon, most notably with delegate Phil Hamilton and giving his opinion very early on that. If that turns into a state issue and if the Attorney General of Virginia is forced to prosecute on that, Steve Shannon will very likely have to recuse himself. Ken Cuccinelli will not because he hasn't offered an opinion on that. You also have the special session earlier this year with Melendez-Diaz. It was pretty evident from most folks outside looking in that Steve Shannon stumbled a bit. Ken Cuccinelli was very clear and articulate. So, again, even with all that having been said, it's not too late. They haven't gotten into a debate cycle yet. We really haven't seen the two, Shannon and Cuccinelli, go head-to-head, and I think that is really, you have a third of the electorate that makes their decisions based on the results of debates. I think that's really what a lot of people are waiting for in that race.
Right. We're talking with Sean Kenny of SeanKenny.com. Let's turn our attention to the House of Delegates races. Generally speaking, your thoughts about how the numbers are going to shake out. And is this the key House of Delegates election before the next redistricting?
It is. This is the one that's going to determine whether or not there's going to be one-sided redistricting, whether the Democrats are going to have all the strings, or whether or not the Republicans are going to have a say in this. And what should be noted is that there are three parts to the puzzle. You have the Virginia Senate, which already is firmly in Democratic hands. That's not going to change. You have the Virginia House of Delegates, which, of course, is up this year, and you have the governor's mansion. Whatever gets worked out between the Senate and the House has to be approved by the governor. Now, if you have, say, Bob McDonnell's governor and a Republican House of Delegates, it's going to be leaning on one side towards the other. If you have Governor Creed Eads, on the other hand, in a Republican House of Delegates, then obviously those congressional districts, which are really sort of what's hanging in the balance here, are going to swing towards the Democrats. Two things to really note in this process. One, the Republicans have a pretty firm hand on the House of Delegates right now. They are actually looking at tacking on a few seats, which is something that nobody would have expected in November of 2008 after Obama swept the state for the first time. A Democratic presidential candidate has done that since 1964. But secondly, there is sort of an undercurrent, and it's instigated within the Democratic Party, and is sort of there's an undercurrent within the GOP now as well for nonpartisan redistricting. How that's going to work out in the end, I'm not quite sure, but I think you're going to hear that phrase more and more often after the census as we get into 2010 and 2011 and start really hashing out how the lines are going to be drawn.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? Would you support nonpartisan redistricting? Is it even possible?
It depends on the criteria.
Yeah.
If you're from Northern Virginia, nonpartisan redistricting may very well depend on how you travel to work. If you're from Hampton Roads, they're going to be based around communities. If you're from Southwest Virginia, they may very well be based around some different criteria. Let's say school districts, for instance. If you're from the Charlottesville area, it may very well be based around the nearest post office. It really sort of depends. I mean, it's a great idea in theory and in concept, but it's really going to depend on not just on what criteria are used, but whether or not that criteria is going to be sufficient for Virginia, which does fall under the 1964 Civil Rights Voting Act, where there is going to be a little bit of gerrymandering based on the requirements of the Department of Justice. But again, great in theory, but we do have to hammer out the details.
Sean Kenny is the former director of communications for the Republican Party of Virginia. Sean, remind us about the predicament of Republican Phil Hamilton, arguably one of the top five leaders in the Republican Party in the House of Delegates, has fallen on some difficult times as of late. And then flesh that out and tell us where that led you in your thinking as you posted some of your thoughts online about how Virginia might deal with this kind of thing in the future.
Well, Delegate Phil Hamilton is one of the budget conferees. He is a very high-ranking Republican in the House of Delegates, and he wrote into the budget a consulting job. Pretty much wrote his own salary and then applied for the job himself and was awarded said job. Highly, highly, highly unethical. Delegate Phil Hamilton has not apologized for this, it has been taken to an ethics panel within the House, which is appointed by the Speaker, who will review the situation and come back with their recommendations. Once those recommendations are made, the House can pretty much take virtually whatever action it wants, leading up to and including censure. But Phil Hamilton's pretty much dug his heels in. He says, look, I've done nothing that any other, he doesn't think he did anything wrong. I disagree with him personally. There are others who would point to Delegate Jennifer McClellan, who is a lobbyist for and on the House Democratic side, and would point to even Creed Eads trying to change the law and so that he could work it off at a law firm that would write in that would enable him to be both working at the law firm while engaged in lobbying procedures while he was still a state senator. What this encouraged, at least in the blogosphere, is a little bit of a conversation, because Delegate Hamilton may not, it's certainly not a single instance. It is somewhat symptomatic of the culture that's in Richmond. And I think that most insiders know that there is a little bit of this give and take going on here. And so one of my colleague, Waldo Jaquith, who blogs in Charlottesville on his own website, had recommended one prescription. It was to pretty much increase the salary of our delegates and elected officials tenfold and have a full-time legislature. I disagreed with that, and I pretty much came up with the opposite prescription. I said, well, you know, here's this. Why not, just for hypothesis sake, pay them nothing and have them meet less frequently. And the idea essentially settled around this sort of thought experiment is that if you have right now, the only people that can really run for public office is if you are of some means, an attorney perhaps, or a lobbyist, or somebody who's completely independent and doesn't require their salary in order to make it day to day. How do you get around this? And my thought, at least, was, well, if the problem is, if you're sitting there as a budget conferee and you're seeing billions of dollars go back and forth and you think you're entitled to a slice, well, then simply remove yourself from the near occasion of sin and just back away. Waldo, of course, proposed the opposite prescription, which would be to make sure that you're properly taken care of. But I would think that maybe we need to think a little bit out of the box and just sort of have the conversation, whether it's online or in coffee bars or whatever the case may be, and just say, you know, look, if you're a single mother who's active in their PTA and you want to participate at the state level of government, how best do you take somebody's schedule like that and allow them to participate in their state government and to give them a voice? How would you take somebody who's pulling a 9-to-5 shift at the plant and enable them to have a seat at the table? Does that mean you have to take 2 months out of your year and then go ahead and go work in Richmond? Or does that mean that maybe we could break it up over the course of months and maybe a hybrid? All of this is a very long way of saying that there are certain things in Richmond that are broken, and there are many, many different ways of fixing it. And I think that what you're seeing online is the sort of an awakening of conscience. And as so long as these issues continue to percolate, so long as we have instances of ethics scandals with Delegate Hamilton or questions from certain pieces of legislation that Delegate McClellan or Senator Deeds puts forward, this problem's not going away. And I certainly highly encourage listeners and others to help chip in and maybe come to their own conclusions and talk to others about what's the best way to fix the problem.
You can join the conversation at seankenny.com. Sean Kenny is the former director of communications for the Republican Party of Virginia, and we will talk soon as we get ready for this big election in November. Sean, thank you so much.
Coy, thank you.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.